Don't just leave. Don't just leave. Don't just leave.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pizzegna. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program today. I'm going to be talking about victory in any storms that you face in your life. One of my favorite stories in the scripture, Mark chapter 4. One day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him in the boat, just as he was, and there were other boats with him. And a great storm of wind occurred, and the waves beat into the boat, and the boat was filling with water. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we perish?" And he woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with fear, and they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Heard a story about a family of four. And they were driving down the road. There was the mother, the father, the two children, and they had a little pet monkey with them. And they were involved in a one-car accident. And all the people were knocked unconscious, but the pet monkey was okay. The police came up to the scene and they saw the scene and everybody was unconscious. They put him in the ambulance and they took him all to the hospital. But the pet monkey was awake, and he was jumping up and down like he wanted to tell the police how it happened. The police were trying to figure it out, and they couldn't because everybody was unconscious. But finally, they decided to start asking the monkey a few questions. So they went over to the monkey, and they said, "Monkey, do you know what happened?" And he started jumping up and down. He goes, "Okay, monkey." He goes, "What was the father doing when the accident occurred?" And the monkey went like this. The sergeant went, "Whoa, drinking going on here." Then he said to the monkey, "Monkey, what was the mother doing when the accident occurred?" And the monkey went, he goes, "Okay, there was talking and arguing and drinking." And he said, "Monkey, what were the children doing when the accident occurred?" And the monkey went, so the sergeant went to the other officer. He says, "It's an open and shut case. I mean, there was fighting, there was drinking, there was arguing. Of course there was an accident. Oh, by the way, monkey, what were you doing when the accident occurred?" The monkey went, and that brings me to the point. Who is driving your car? Who is in control of your life? Is it a monkey? Is it you? Or is it the Lord? We all want control. We all want to be in control of our life. But did you hear the scripture? Jesus said, "Let's go across to the other side." In other words, he wants to bring us somewhere. And in order for that to happen, we must relinquish control to Jesus. We've got to quit driving our life, trying to be in control of everything, and give it to Jesus. I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, "If God is your co-pilot, consider swapping seats." You know what that means? Instead of you being the pilot and God the co-pilot, why don't you let God be the pilot and you be the co-pilot? See, when you surrender control, it means that you still have some, but God is first in your life. And that's so important. He wants to bring us to the other side. He wants to journey with us to another place. And I want to talk about that. Your life has tremendous purpose and significance and meaning. There is a reason for your life. And that reason is eternity. You see, right now, our life and all the circumstances and all the events and all the things that we go through in our life, it all has a purpose. And the purpose is God is preparing us. Please get that. God is preparing us for eternity. And in order to be prepared for eternity, we must go through to the other side. That other side, of course, is eternity. It's eternal life with God. So Jesus wants to bring us to the other side. He wants to journey with, this is what discipleship is. He wants to walk with us to the other side. Get this. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, Jesus is the way, he knows the way, and he wants to walk with us on the way. That was the term, by the way, for the early Christians. They weren't called Christians, they weren't called Catholics, they were called the way. So he wants to journey with us on the way to eternal life. So your life right now has significance, it has meaning, it has purpose, and we must walk with Jesus. That's another word for Jesus, another name for Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to walk with us, beside us. He wants to lead us and guide us to the other side. And that's what he said to the apostles. Let's go across to the other side. Discipleship is a journey. It's a pilgrimage to the other side. I'm writing a book right now on discipleship called More Than Conquerors. And it's about allowing Jesus to be Lord of your life and letting him take you, bring you, walk with you to the other side. And you're going to find out that it's the going through, it's the moving, it's the walking, it's the journeying with Jesus that actually brings us transformation. In order to go to the other side, in order in our preparation for eternity and to be ready for eternity, we must grow, be transformed, learn how to trust. I go like this because I'm going to talk about clinging to God. And then have a union with God. So you must be transformed, learn trust, and come to a oneness with God, a personal relationship with God. Then you will be prepared to enter eternity. And that's the meaning of our life. Life now is a preparation for eternity. You must understand your circumstances, the people, the things that you're going through right now, they're not isolated incidents that have no meaning and significance. Your life has tremendous meaning, ultimate meaning, tremendous significance. You are on a journey to the other side. You must understand that. And as you, and this is really important, as you go through trials, tribulations, sufferings, circumstances, difficulties, joys, celebrations, as you go through, you grow through. Remember, it's all about transformation, it's all about trust, and it's all about mystical union with God. So Jesus said, let's go across to the other side. So let's go. It's interesting, they were in a boat, and they're going across to the other side. This is how it is. You're following Jesus. You're on that pilgrimage. You're on that journey of life. You want to grow. You want to get to know him. You want to have significance in your life. You want union with God. And as they're going across to the other side, all of a sudden, the Bible says, a great storm of wind occurred. This wasn't just a little rainstorm here or a little bit of wind, not even a gale. It was a hurricane force storm occurred. And isn't life just like that? You know, we're journeying, we're going, we're passing through life. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this big storm will happen. I had the privilege of studying in Israel back in 1987 when I was a seminarian. And I lived in Israel for 3 months. One of my favorite places to go was the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee, actually, it's not a sea like we know it in the United States, like the Atlantic Ocean or the Gulf of Mexico or the Pacific Ocean. Actually, the Sea of Galilee is, another word for it is the Lake of Gennesaret. Gennesaret is a word that means a harp, like a musical harp that you play, because it's shaped like a harp. And if you've ever been to Lake Tahoe up in California, Nevada, it's pretty much the same size as Lake Tahoe. Actually, the Sea of Galilee is only 13 miles long, about 8 miles across, and it's more like a lake. Well, the interesting thing about the Sea of Galilee is, well, Lake Tahoe is up about 6,200 feet high up in the mountains, the Sierra Nevada mountains. But the Sea of Galilee is, get this, it's 680 feet below sea level. It's one of the lowest places on earth. And as you know, the Jordan River comes into the Sea of Galilee and it goes out of the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. But it's below sea level and it's surrounded by hills on the sides. And what happens is these wind storms erupt out of Syria and they come down through a notch in the Golan Heights and they get sucked down below sea level onto the Sea of Galilee, and with a ferocious type of a storm. If you just happen to be out on a boat going across to the other side and one of these storms come, you can be killed. I remember when I was studying over in Israel, I was on a boat with a captain going across the Sea of Galilee. It was a beautiful day. And I went over to him and I said, you know, I read about that storm on the Sea of Galilee that they encountered. I said, do storms like that really happen? And the captain says, he looked at me with a very serious look. He goes, oh yes, they do. He looked like he had been through a few. And he said, we even have a name for them. They're called sharkias. And he says, they come out of nowhere. They come with ferocious winds. And people have been killed on the Sea of Galilee because of these storms. And that's exactly what was going on here. They started off, things were purring along, everything was going great, and then all of a sudden, things happened. I think one of the greatest virtues we need in life is courage. I love that picture of the bird courageously facing the storm, being strong. I love that picture, that gives me courage. And then I think about the eagle. It's the storm that brings the eagle higher and higher. Let the storms of your life make you courageous. Let them lift you up. Do you have peace in your life? That's what Jesus came to bring. There was a Good Morning America segment recently about women that could not fall asleep, single moms. And they found that if you meditate, spend 5 or 10 minutes a day meditating, it will help you to have peace and to fall asleep. Years ago, I was never able to meditate because I had no peace. Then when I came to Christ, I was able to spend some time in prayer and just be still. My book, Thy Kingdom Come, will help you to have peace, to know Jesus, and to be strong in the storms of your life. In the Bible, whenever we hear about storms, they're very symbolic, of course. They're metaphorical. They have to do with real life. And things that happen in our life, you know, people will oftentimes say, well, I'm going through a storm, or I'm having a crisis in my life. It's a real hard time for me. So storms are symbolic for the sufferings and the difficulties and the trials that we go through. I think about my own life. I remember about 15 years ago, my dad, he died suddenly in his sleep. And all of a sudden, I'm thrown into the grieving process. Last year, my mother died. She had an operation, a heart operation. She lived for about 8 days and then she died. Those were tremendous storms for me. Physically, I've gone through some sufferings. I had a knee operation a couple years ago. I'm very used to being athletic and physically fit. That knee operation was a tremendous storm for me. I went through a hard suffering. I've been having some difficulties with my eyes. I've had some things, some protein detach in there and they float around. And at times it's very difficult to see. It's called a PVD, posterior vitreous detachment. Some of you know what that is. They're called floaters. And I've had doctors, you know, work on them and they're still there. It's very difficult. And that's been a storm in my life. Then I think about religious life. You know, I've been a religious now for over 30 years as a passionist. Religious life doesn't seem to be attracting the young men and the young women like it used to be. And there's a great diminishment in religious life right now. That's a tremendous storm in the church, as well as vocations to the priesthood. I travel many different places. I remember I was preaching in New York, in Queens, New York, and they had just gone through Hurricane Sandy. Talk about a storm. Many people died in that storm, lost their homes and property. As I flew into New York City, of course, we flew right over the site of the World Trade Centers that were destroyed by terrorists back in 2001. New York is still reeling about that. Many people have lost families and relationships because of the people that died in 9/11. And then I remember I was in a particular parish in Queens, and there had been a plane accident there. It was American Airlines Flight 587. This is back in 2001. As it was taking off out of JFK Airport, it lost its back rudder, and it came straight down about a quarter mile from the church where I was preaching, St. Francis de Sales. 265 people died, 5 people on the ground. It was on its way to the Dominican Republic, and it was a devastating accident. I think about the people in New Orleans. I do a lot of preaching there, and I'm on WLAE-TV in New Orleans, and Katrina and what they went through and still go through there. Many people relocated. We had Rita in Lake Charles in Houston. So what I'm trying to say is that there's storms that blow in. Storms on epic levels, personally, as a country, as a town, as a community. Perhaps you know a storm in your life right now. Maybe you're struggling with a physical problem, a suffering of some sort. Could be arthritis. It could be heart problems. It could be all kinds of internal organs that can go wrong on you. Or maybe you're going through divorce. Or maybe you've been through a divorce. Or you're grieving. Could be you've had an abortion in your past and you're still suffering with guilt. You've had a child leave the faith. You know, we all go through things. And I want to tell you, it's in the going through, it's as we go through the journey and we hit the storm, that actually that helps us to grow. We can learn trust in the storm. We can unite our sufferings with the very sufferings of Christ on the cross and have a mystical union. This is something that Paul the Apostle did. Remember, he was going through, he called it a thorn in the flesh. And as he was going through this thorn, naturally, like we all do, he asked God to take the storm away. And he begged God, it says in the scripture. He said 3 times, "Take this away, please." And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And remember how Paul, in his writings, wrote in a sublime way. He says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And how did he come to that? He came to that through his sufferings and mystically uniting his sufferings with Christ on the cross and finding a mystical union with Christ. See, a lot of people go through sufferings and they have no understanding or meaning or significance. They think that their sufferings are just isolated events that really don't mean anything. But I want to tell you today that your sufferings have great significance and tremendous meaning. This is what is preparing you for eternity. And one thing that sufferings can do is unite you in a deep, mystical way with the passion of Christ. The word passion means suffering. So don't waste your sufferings. Allow them to unite you to Christ, and God's grace will be sufficient for you. And then in our sufferings, we can learn trust. And in our sufferings, we grow in virtue. Patience. You ever hear of the virtue? Endurance and long suffering. All these things come as we go through, the things of life. I remember I read a book one time. It was by Philip Yancey. He's a great evangelical author. And he wrote a book called Disappointment with God. And it was about Christians who were going through sufferings and trials and hardships. And they felt like they shouldn't be going through these things. And they were disappointed with God. Why doesn't God stop the storm? Why doesn't God remove these sufferings? Why doesn't God take this away? Why doesn't God heal me? And the great conclusion he came to in this book, Disappointment with God, Philip Yancey, the great conclusion that he came to was, God is fair. God is good all the time, even though we suffer. It's life that isn't fair. It's life that can throw us storms. So when you go through things, don't blame God. We go through things because we're human, and everybody's got something. But God is the one who can help you. Maybe you're a person that doesn't really go to church, and you know, a lot of people use that excuse, well, if there's a good God, how can there be suffering on earth and, you know, babies being aborted and people being hungry and the poor being homeless and all that kind of thing. If there's a good God, none of that would be happening. And you use it as an excuse not to go to church. Well, I want to tell you, don't be mad at God. God's the one that can help you. God's the one that wants to raise you up. God's the one that wants to give you meaning in the midst of your pain. It's not God who gives you these things. God is the one who redeems us in these things. And these things are meant to teach us trust as we come to Christ. We can learn to lean on the everlasting arms. So please don't be mad at God. God's the one who can help you. He's the only one that can help you. And oftentimes what God does is he uses sufferings to bring you to a deep relationship with him. In the AA program, Alcoholics Anonymous, this is something called a bottoming out experience. Oftentimes, a bottoming out experience will lead to an awakening into a new consciousness with God, into a new relationship with God. So if you're going through something right now, and aren't we all, don't waste it. Let it awaken you. C.S. Lewis, a great Christian author, said that sufferings are God's megaphone. You know what a megaphone is? That's when you can speak, and if you use a megaphone, it's like shouting. So in other words, God shouts in our sufferings, calling us to himself, teaching us about the significance of life. You see, we're all preparing for eternity, and as we prepare, we're going across to the other side. But Jesus is the one, Emmanuel, who walks with us and wants to take us there. Along the way, in our journey, as we pilgrimage to the other side, we're going to learn and to grow and to be transformed. And one of the great ways that happens is through suffering. So I want you to understand that there is significance. There is purpose in your life. There is meaning for all the circumstances together. They're not just isolated, arbitrary events. Things, everything that happens has meaning. God stitches it all together and makes it work to good for those who love him. That's right from the Bible. So in the midst of it all, as we're making this journey to the other side, as we are preparing for eternity, where is Jesus in the story? They're going across to the other side. Where is Jesus? This great storm of wind occurs. Where is Jesus? You know what it said? He's in the back of the boat asleep on a cushion. Isn't that the way it seems sometimes? You know, you're going through something really hard and it's like, where is he? Why is he so silent? Why doesn't he take this away? You know, we're always saying why, trying to understand, and that's okay because we want to try to understand. But where is Jesus? And what is the gospel writer Mark saying when he's saying that Jesus was in the back of the boat asleep on a cushion? Was he saying that he doesn't care? That he doesn't know when you're going through trials and tribulations? No, I think he was saying something totally different. You've all heard that saying, I'm in the same boat you are. That's exactly what he's saying. Jesus is in the boat. He's human just like us. He's Emmanuel, God with us as we journey. And even though it may not feel it, people are so into feelings, but remember what I said, we're trying to learn trust here. We're trying to learn faith. Even though it may not seem like Jesus is there, he is there. He's in the boat. You have to learn trust. I remember when my mom died. This is just last year. And you know, I'm a priest. We celebrated her funeral. One of the hardest things I ever had to do was celebrate my dad's funeral, my mom's funeral. Very difficult to get up in front of all your relatives and you're grieving. Because they had just died. She was the love of my life. And I remember right before the funeral, it was a couple days before, I'm in my room praying, and I wanted to give a great tribute to her life. I wanted that funeral to be a great celebration of resurrection and the woman that she was. you know, raising three children and being faithful in her marriage for 50 years and living with great faith as she did in her life. And I wanted it to be a great tribute and everything, and I'm praying and I'm grieving and I'm praying, and I wasn't feeling anything. You know, here I am, this man of faith, this priest, this preacher, and I remember thinking, God, why don't I feel you? Why don't I feel your comfort? I need your strength right now. But during the funeral, there was a supernatural strength. And God helped me to preside very well and to give my mom a fitting tribute. But oftentimes, the point I'm trying to make is, it doesn't feel like God is there, even when you're going through some of the hardest times of your life. My mother's funeral was one of the hardest times I've ever had to endure. And I didn't feel anything. And what I'm simply trying to say is, sometimes it doesn't seem like Jesus is there, but he's in the boat. And you must understand that. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.